studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
That's our program for today, folks. We're glad that you were able to tune in. Tune again next Monday. Wait a minute.
Really? Well, good morning or good afternoon. It's only been, 2 years since we've done that, and I'm still doing good morning. Oh, well. I've got it figured out. It's because I've spent 40 years on the radio doing good morning. That's what it is. That's what kind of builds it into you.
Just see what happens if we start doing evening programs as well, or take on. We have been toying around with the idea of broadcasting more than once a week, depending on our schedule and whatever, and emails that we receive. Thank you for the emails, and we would like to have more emails, by the way. And in fact, what we would really love, Cliff, you want to tell them, or should I?
646-721-9887. That's the telephone number. And if you give us a call, and if there's any subject you want to talk about, we're happy to talk about it. And if we're talking about something other than that at any given time, call us and we'll change our subject for you. That's no problem. We can always get back to what we were talking about, or we can just dump what we're talking about entirely, because chances are what you have to say is more important or more interesting. Either way, 646-721-9887. Believe it or not, I actually taped it up to the side of the computer so it won't even get lost. Won't get anything spilled on it. I hope it won't get anything spilled on it. It'll destroy my computer if it does. Anyway.
Well, so. A little bit more practical than your last suggestion about taking a Sharpie and writing it on the refrigerator.
That's not impractical at all. That's absolutely imperative. That's the way to do it. Is you can't possibly lose it then. That's the only way. I won't tell you what I've got written on my computer, on my refrigerator, rather. I've got two signed Cliff Wilson in the mornings. So they're left over from radio shows.
And it's like, what are we supposed to do with Cliff Wilson in the morning?
Just magnetically stick him to the refrigerator.
That's
work.
I got somebody wandering around outside, like, should I open the door or let him in and put him on the air? No. Anyway, 646-721-9887. We got a lot to talk about today. It's kind of half open mic, half we always have topics. We always got something to talk about.
There's always so much to talk about. We had the Oscars last night. We do have to talk about the Oscars, at least a little bit.
What about Ernie?
84 years that the Oscars went. So you've got to talk about the Oscars. A silent movie won. Are you ready for that? First, I mean, you know, we haven't had silent movies for 50 years. A silent movie comes along, and it's the winner of the Oscar.
You mean there wasn't any audio with that?
Use audio when you saw The Artist is the name of the movie, and it was basically a silent movie in black and white, too.
Oh, wow.
We started watching, not knowing what it was, and turned it off because it was, you know, not that interesting to us.
But anyway, 646-721-9887 is right now in the chat room. It's on Blog Talk Radio, and unfortunately, we do have a guest. Well, not unfortunately, we have a guest, because we do have a guest in the room. Unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio does not allow guests to comment in the chat room, but they've been making some noises that we got some changes coming down the line. Things are supposed to get better. Yeah, I believe that when I see it. Every time they make a change, it gets worse. But in either case, if you happen to be listening to the program on the archives, you can still participate by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And I want to kind of get some business out of the way here, because this program is sponsored by Dancing Dog Cookies. Dancing Dog Cookies are made by Tom and Kathy in the Eugene area, and they're available locally in Lane County and online. And you can check them out online, by the way, at dancingcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with dancing dog cookies because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, Skippy and Cliff loves them, so check them out, dancingdogcookies.com.
If you were to look, I'm dancing with my dog.
He is.
Which is really weird because I don't have a dog.
That's right. It's very, very entertaining right now.
Wonder who I'm dancing with.
Oh, I didn't know you went to the South Shore.
Yeah, well, other people might call it the soft shoe. When I do it, that probably wouldn't be.
Anyways, like I say, we got a lot talked about. We have a What the Heck segment that Cliff doesn't know what this one is, so let's see how he reacts to it.
Okay.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, now I'm probably going to bastardize the name because I always wind up doing that, so I'm going to apologize right here at the beginning of the segment. But you thought you had a bad day, but Jesse Sinone went to pick up his daughter from school and was taken to the police station for questioning and strip searched. The arrest was based on his 4-year-old daughter drew at school depicting him holding a gun. When his daughter was questioned about the picture, she says, he uses it to shoot bad guys and monsters.
I love it.
Sinone informed police that he neither owns a gun, nor does he kill monsters. He was released several hours later without charges, and officials told local newspapers that the arrest was necessary to ensure that there were no guns accessible by children in the family's home.
I can imagine. What kind of monsters do you shoot, sir? How often do you shoot these monsters? Where are these monsters?
And why are you in monsters?
That's got to be bad. You've got to wonder what's going on with that police department if they really took that seriously.
Yeah. Well, this happened in Kitchener, Ontario, and in Canada. And I did check, and you are allowed to have weapons in Canada, but it just gets to the whole point.
How old was the daughter?
4 years.
4 years old. Of course she's going to have an imagination. And she's going to exercise. I mean, God, I can't believe the police department would actually do a 4-year-old daughter and they get upset because she...
She just drew a picture of her father, having a gun killing monsters. Well, geez, how many movies do you see where, the adult goes through and rescues the day? And that could just be simply all it is. But talk about...
Well, it could be nothing more than the fact she saw a monster movie last night and somebody had a gun and shot her. And, of course, she hero-wise is her father, and so she made the picture. That's just dumb. To put so much – everybody wants to read everything. They want to read between the lines of everything. And I hate to tell you this, folks, but for those of you who read between the lines, you're reading nothing. There is nothing between the lines. That's what between the lines is. Nothing.
I don't know how to follow that one.
Well, I mean, everybody's doing it nowadays. I know what she means by that. You don't even know what she means by that. You either take it that she means what she said, or you don't know what she means, or that... You just don't know, because that's just so stupid to try to read something into what a 4-year-old drew in a picture at school. God.
And take it to that extreme.
And there are some instances where maybe the 4-year-old is, you see a picture of two people in bed and you think it's mommy and daddy. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's mommy and the postman. But who knows? And don't start trying to read anything into it, because maybe it is just mommy and daddy.
Well, that's just like the extent of what we did last episode of this program, where we talked about, I believe it was a four-year-old as well, that got their lunches inspected by the government. Things are getting crazy, but going back to this picture, what if the daughter had drew something more than her dad with a gun shooting monsters? You know, something more violent or even, I doubt a four-year-old would do it, but say more sexually related.
So it doesn't make any difference. She's four.
Well, they acted on her picture.
Well, chances are she doesn't have any idea what she's drawing in the first place. You know, that's the thing. That I've seen this happen millions of times. No, maybe not millions of times, but I personally have seen it happen several times where you take a look at something that a four-year-old has done or said or written or, well, probably not written because they probably can't write. But anyway, and then you read into it, and that's not what the kid meant at all. The kid was totally just making something up or just put it down because that's what they thought. Or, you know, children hear a word and don't know exactly what it means or don't know that you're pronouncing it wrong or you're pronouncing it right and they're pronouncing it wrong, and so it becomes something else. You just can't read that kind of stuff into a four-year-old's – whatever a four-year-old does. It doesn't make any difference what they're doing. You've got to take it with a grain of salt.
Well, and kids at that age, too, it's not uncommon, you know, for monsters because, you know, the monster under the bed, et cetera.
Sure. Who knows? You know, they maybe her dad read her a monster story to put her to sleep.
Could be.
You know?
Or saw something on TV or, I don't know, whatever. But, you know, she depicted her father as the hero, shooting the bad guys and killing the monsters. But, again,
I used to tell my sisters, my younger sisters, monster started to sleep, scared them to death.
Yeah.
And my parents didn't even know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if my sister knew either. But anyway, I'm.
But no, it's. I mean, now the articles. I've looked at several articles regarding this, and it doesn't really say really what the child was doing. The fact that quoted here, you know, that my dad is just. Shooting bad guys and monsters. But, you know, you wonder if the backstory is something that to make the school believe that there is something worthwhile to actually call authorities on.
Well, you know, I don't see why not. You know, if this happens and just every day for 6 weeks or something like that, I would want to look into it and find out what's going on. Or even if she does it three times in a row, I would want to look into it and see what's going on, at least a cursory preview of what's going on and find out. You know, maybe the parents just like to watch sci-fi movies or monster movies before they go. Kid is supposedly in the other room asleep, but you never know if they really are. They may be listening into your sci-fi monster movie while you're watching it. Even though you would be the best parents in the world, you don't know exactly what your child is doing. If they're not doing anything that is evidentiary. I don't know the word that's supposed to be that I'm trying to come up with. If you're not sure what your child is doing, whether, you know, it may look like they're doing fine on the outside and they're not. Maybe they're laying there listening to something that they shouldn't be hearing. But you just can't tell that. And so, you know, it could be all very innocent, and it may not be. It may be something weird. So, you know, I can see looking into it, but let's not get carried away with the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. One of the papers followed up on the story a couple days later and was told by police every concern based on this information that children were in danger.
Yeah, right. If we'd get the police a little more interested in catching cops and catching robbers and car thieves and things like that, we'd be a lot better off. But this business of just jumping into personal private lives over, you know, the simplest little thing. It's just ridiculous. Now, as I say, if this goes on and on and on and we have evidence of it being a lot of problems and have times, then maybe we should look into it. But A one-time thing? No. Two-time thing? No. Three? Maybe. Well, but let's just, you know, three times and then we'll start checking.
Well, I could see if the father had a history of being a bad guy, but apparently he had a licensed professional support worker that educates children in classrooms.
That's even more interesting. Does he carry his gun?
I have a gun. But, you know, they apparently, you know, he was known. I'm assuming there's some sort of background search for that type of job.
The people in the schools could be contacted. The schools and the people who hire him to go into the classroom and do these sorts of things has got to know a little bit about the guy. My God.
Exactly. And, of course, police said that you can use your own imagination. Police said that the strip search was necessary since it was a firearms-related incident. I'm going to leave that one alone. There's places I won't go, and that's one of them.
Yeah, really. That's just
not any way you want to read into it.
That's ridiculous. Just totally ridiculous. Yeah, that's like the searches at the airports and things. They get so ridiculously carried away that it's not even funny. And you know, we don't have 50 million people in the United States that are trying to smuggle guns on, and for God's sake, I just don't think there's that many people doing it. I believe we're no better off with the what do they call the TSW or something like that?
TSA, Transportation Security Administration.
Better off with them than we would be without them. So I think we should spend a whole hell of a lot less money and be without them, because I don't think we'd be in any worse shape.
Well, and interesting you should say that, because in the same paper that I'm looking at, it's the RT.com. TSA annual report proves it's useless.
I can believe that. I can believe that. I just said it. I just do believe that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's just, oh, God. You got to be kidding. We are getting to the point that we are afraid of our own shadow. And I don't know who's trying to do that. I think there's got to be some, you know, group out there from Afghanistan or something that's trying to make us afraid of our own shadow, and it's working. And we need to grow up.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially when you get harassed because you have a cupcake.
You know, in a way, I can see it, because, you know, that cupcake was a little bit weird. It was in a glass jar with a lid, and there were some things about that cupcake that were not cupcake-ish. And so there was a consideration in that. Although once you realize and the problem was, this person got away with that cupcake a couple of times before that, I believe.
Oh, and here's one kind of a related article to this one. there's something else on the sideline I got to read. Woman prevented from getting on the plane because of her purse, and what outraged TSA officials and why they wouldn't let her on the plane is because part of the decoration on the purse.
Oh, yes, right. I'm going to shoot you with my rhinestone gun.
Yes.
And my gun is made out of rhinestones. It's not even a gun. Yeah, as you say, you know, that means that I certainly couldn't take a comic book on board that had to do with, you know, cowboys and Indians, because that's guns.
Okay. And this one here, when you're dealing with this, again, we're still talking about the TSA. And once again, I just want to kind of invite people to give us a call, 646-721-9887. As Cliff would say, 646-721-9887. This one here, and I don't know how they were able to write this story out of this. I'm going to read it cold, because I could not write this any better. But says, after the internet went abuzz over a transportation security agency official questionable handling of a sex toy in a patron's personal baggage, they now say that they've come down hard on the guilty party for inappropriate behavior.
Oh, God. when you're boarding an airplane, you should be chastised for your sexual deviancies, I'm telling you.
That's right. I have a vibrator. I want this plane to Cuba. I have a vibrator.
Right. Right. Well, you never know. Vibrators are electronic, so maybe they can mess up with the radios and things. You never know. It's just we're getting so insane about this whole darn thing. It's just not even funny. We're the people's private personal lives where we're not supposed to be, and especially where and it's an inappropriate place to be delving into your personal private lives. And if there was an appropriate place, that it definitely is not it. The appropriate place, but that's definitely not the one. That's just so ridiculous, so ridiculous. And we're spending so much money doing this. We're buying these different radar things and microwave things and all kinds of stuff and trying to look at people without making them think we're looking at them. I'm sure what's happening is every deviant in the world is trying to become a TSA whatever inspector. So it's just ridiculous.
Well, and apparently the TSA is thinking about expanding to Greyhound bus stations.
Next thing they'll do is they'll be inspecting you before you get in your car.
Well, actually, and again, according to this article, and it's RT.com, by the way, if anybody's interested in it, it says here, currently the TSA commands 25 Viper teams, which they call two dozen to, plus visible intermodal prevention and response units that conduct checkpoints from coast.
Really?
So it'd be kind of like the Gestapo in a way, you know. We are TSA. Let's show me your papers and take off your underwear.
Yeah, right. You know, that's I'm afraid what's going to be, and it's getting more and more deviant. I mean, we're getting more and more perverted when we're doing this. This is not a matter of just, you know, show me if you have a gun or not. I want to see you naked. That's the whole thing. And not only do I want to see you naked, I want to probe your orifices or whatever it's called. And we're just get carried away. And I would be willing to guarantee you at this particular point to bet you that probably 50% already of the T-actors are perverts and deviants. They may not have an award yet, but I'm sure they are. And we need to stop this. This is getting carried away.
Well, it's kind of an example of what happens with government when it gains a little bit of power. You know, it gets back to that old adage of how much of your freedom are you willing to give up for the illusion of security or safety.
Well, I'm wondering how much of an illusion. I don't think this is at all. Plain invasive is what it is becoming. I hope people are recognizing this and catching on. And they're going to, you know, the old, what's the movie? I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to put up with this anymore.
Exactly.
I mean, we've got something about all of this stupidity. Well, yeah, we stand and let it happen.
Well, it's like you and I have talked about on previous programs. The 28th Amendment, how much of this stuff do you think would still be going on if elected officials, you know, the people in the executive branch had to go through the same thing that we do?
Yeah, that's yeah, really. Man, I don't know how to accept that, because that would slow down, if not slow down, cause to come to a big halt. Right away, Congress shall make no law that applies to the citizens of the United States that does not apply equally to Senate representatives. And the Congress shall make no law that applies to Senate representatives that does not apply equally to citizens of the United States. Well, I will have to say, well, no, I won't either have to say. I was just going to say Rand Paul, he flies commercial flights, by the way. He seldom ever flies any commercials. And he's not incognito, but he doesn't tell anybody who he is, and he doesn't uniform. Of course, he's a senator. He's not somebody who wears a uniform. But he doesn't run up and say, I'm Senator Rand Paul, so I need this or I want. He just goes up and checks. And he has had a couple of instances. He's gotten quite upset about what's happened to him by the TSA, and he has had to bring it to people's attention. And it's just because I'm sure that we're hiring huge numbers of perverts to test.
Now, in a way, I can understand this one. This happened December 12th of last year. And let's see, what was her age? 85-year-old woman was strip searched for wearing a back brace. They strongly suspected it was a money belt, which who cares either way. But if you have one, yeah. The other side of the coin is just like mother, for example,
might have a lot of metal on her.
Well, I was just going to say, like my stepmother, she has to carry a card with her because what's called a reverse prosthesis. Basically, they've replaced the bones in her arm with artificial bones, and it's something that's a metal detector, so she has to carry a card saying that she has metal parts in her.
Yeah. And now, enough. I'm going to give people some ideas, I suppose. But she's got this card. How do you know that card is real? It's legitimate. How do you know she just didn't go home and make it up on her computer? You know, saying that your mother would do that or anything. So you'd have less of an idea, legitimate or real, than anything else. And so that's just ridiculous in the first place. The idea of people going to such huge extent and extremes to get something on an airplane, I just can't see it. I just simply can't see it. We're getting just too carried away. And, I've just made it very apparent that in any to exercise perversion needs to go become a TSA inspector. That's all. Not only will you be able to exercise your perversion, but they're going to pay you well for it. Because I guess they get paid pretty well.
Now, I wonder what the requirements are.
Well, hopefully it's not to be perverted, but that's the case. I don't know.
Can you hear the promotion ad? Do you like to strip people, search body cavity searches? Have you always longed to hear again?
Well, you want to talk about a real pervert. You got to talk about a real, down-to-earth, dyed-in-the-wool pervert if you've got somebody who wants to search an 80-year-old lady. I mean, that's got to be really perverted. God, I couldn't imagine that. That's just crazy. I mean, that's...
Oh, bring it on, Mr. Darling. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I can see it now.
Hot today.
80-year-old ladies are going to start flying everywhere. That's the only get touched. But, oh, well, we're getting carried away here. I'm sorry. But it's true. We've got to get rid of this thing. This whole business, this Homeland Security thing has got to go, because all it is an excuse to invade your personal privacy and your things that are protected by the Constitution and the Constitution. It's got to stop. And, I'm going to say this. I have lambasted President Obama over and over and over and often, and I'm beginning to think that maybe really very little of any of his problem has to do with him. I think we had a group of Democrats, because the Democrats have this inclination, that's the word I'm looking for, I'll find it, have this inclination to want to control everyone and everything. And so consequently, what they did is they came to Obama, because here was a person who was had virtually no experience at much of anything. Granted, he was a senator, but he'd been senator, what, less than a year or something like that? I mean, he had virtually no experience in much of anything. So here was someone that they could manipulate, someone that they could control to do their willing, And he may not even understand that he's being controlled at this particular point in time. And they glommed onto him and made him president. Well, now, they can do that because there are more Democrats in the world than there are Republicans in the world most of the time. And so, consequently, it's not that hard to do. And so they made this poor, unsuspecting person president and controlled him for the first 3 years of his presidency. I think he's finally catching on to the fact that he's being manipulated, being controlled, and because he's not that stupid, although he had to be pretty stupid to get where it was put. But I think he's catching on to the idea. So, you know, to be honest with you, and I'm not advocating it, but if we were to be hit with another 4 year Obama as president, I don't think it's going to be as bad as the first four. I think he's going to catch on and he's going to say, now look, we're not going to go through this. I'm not going to have any of this. We're going to do this thing, you know, because he's got some ideas, and I'm sure of it. And I'm hearing some of the things that he's doing, not some of what he's saying he's going to do, but some of the things that he is doing that are upsetting people, and other people are talking about it, like federal employees that are getting their paycheck cut a little tiny bit, that are having to pay for their expenses for the rents and things like that. They're having to pay some of that, being paid twice as much as the civilian employees, they're given twice as many benefits as the civilian employees, and now they're upset because they have to pay for a little bit of that. Well, it's about time. And this is something that Obama has done. It's not something he's talked about. It's something that's actually happened. Already getting upset about it. And he's doing some of the things that are actually a little more logical and have a little more comfort with them than he has done in the past. So I get the impression that Obama has been Apache, and that he's been Apache long enough. He's going to call a stop to this whole thing.
Well, I'll disagree with you because now I'll agree with you in the fact that Obama is stupid, but he's also a salesman. You know, he knows that, just salesman, you can feel out your audience and kind of direct the sale and say whatever you need to do to close the deal. And that's what I think he's doing. You know, like when he first running a change, you know, everybody wanted to get rid of Bush. And so that's the thing. And that's how he kind of sold it and basically answered to what people were calling for. And he's kind of doing that now. And admit it, I mean, I will give him a little bit of credit. When you listen to the guy speak, when he's under teleprompter, he is a good speaker, in my opinion. Without it, he kind of pushes for the words. But I think that one of the things that bugs me about is the fact that, you know, him wanting to go and bypass Congress with the executive orders. Cliff, I think you had a total of how many times he's done that. The Obamacare is a huge issue. Not that I don't think we shouldn't have health care, nationwide health care. I just don't like the way they're coming about it. Because I think that's going to bankrupt America. I know it's going to put a huge burden on me and my family. And there's just other issues, too. It's like the TSA and other controls and more regulations that are hurting business. The fact that the pipeline he doesn't want, you know, doesn't want drilling. Coal, he came right out in the beginning that he to raise taxes much on coal that he wants to put them out of business.
Well, you see, I understand what you're saying, but I also want to point out that 90% of what you just talked about took place in the first 3 years. We're in the fourth year. We're in the year where he's actually catching on to the fact that he's being used terribly, and I think he's going to start stopping it and start bringing it to a halt. They think that the Obamacare thing was his, nor do I. He wrote the book. I don't think he even wrote the 4,000, whatever it is. But I think this was something that the Democrats pushed on, made him to do, gave him to do, and said, here, this is how it's going to work. We put you here. Now you've got to do things our way. Well, at this particular point, I think he's up with the whole thing. I think he's realizing how much of a laughingstock it's making him in the world. I mean, his name is on Obamacare. I don't think he had very much to do with Obamacare, to be honest with you. If he had his way, I think it would be totally different if it was there at all. And that's what I think he's realizing, because you notice in this last year, everything has changed. He did a lot of things in the first 3 years, and nothing, how do I want to put it, was all major, big things that people don't like. And this was simply the way for the Democrats to get their programs through and get them passed, because they manipulated and they controlled the president. I don't think they're going to do that much longer. I think the president is going to get up and stand up on his hind feet, so to speak, and start controlling his own life and doing things his own way, and it's about time. And, I'm not too sure, but what he might come through and possibly, well, I find it very hard to think, but he may win. And if he does, I do think things are going to be significantly different when he does. One of the things he's done, the government paychecks, he's cut that back down. He's done some pretty major things with pushing through the alternative fuels, and that's one of the reasons why he's getting rid of some of the, because, I hate to tell you this, clean coal is not.
Yeah, I agree. But I want to throw in there real quick, though, to kind of go back what you're saying about his disappointment. This last year, he's been talking about how disappointing and how unorganized Congress is. And in a sense, he's verbalizing what American people has felt about Congress for a long time. In fact, just like John Carnthers, who we've had audio on the program before, known for Why Read the Bill, apparently several times when he's asked about, did you read the bill before you signed it? No. He comes right out and admits it. So we have a dysfunctional Congress with less than a 20% approval rating or whatever, and he's trying to get things done, and he can't because of the political game. But he's just as guilty, too, because in my opinion, because, the Republicans won't do that, the Republicans won't do this. It's like, no, it's not just the Republicans. It's the whole lot of them. I think they forgot why they're there.
Again, I don't believe for a minute that he's writing those speeches. I don't believe for a minute that he's the one making these statements and making these accusations. I believe it's the Congress that's doing it for him, and not all of the Congress. I mean, I'm talking about probably a group of maybe 10 or 12 people that are involved in doing this and that are manipulating other people. I don't think that, but I think he's catching on. I believe that's why things are changing this year, significantly so, because he's catching on, and that's another reason why he's saying, well, the Congress is sitting on their butts and doing nothing or doing it wrong or whatever, so I've got to go around them. That's part of what he's saying, is he's got to go around them and to get things done. And I think some of the things that he's doing are actually good rather than bad, but he's going to have a hell of a time trying to get around all these people, because this group of people has a pretty big bite in his tuchus at this particular point, and he's got to worry about how to get him has took us out of the fire.
Well, okay, I'll agree with you, and I'll disagree with you in the fact that, like I said, right now they're going to tell you anything they can to get themselves elected, because there's big money. And of course, with as many vacations they've taken, it's also a big Disney ride for them. But, any of the politicians will say anything to get themselves elected.
No, not any politicians. I think there are some that will, but I think there's a whole lot of them in there, Democrats and Republicans, who actually don't go along with this. There's some of them, the Democrats that have been pushing a list and stuff, there are a lot of people going along for the ride because it was easy and it was a surefire way to get what they wanted. Maybe they'll have to get something else and get something else too, but it'll get what they wanted. But the point is, I do think it's over. I think that everybody's coming to the conclusion that they've ridden the game, the ride as far as they can go, and it's going to come to a screeching. Obama has to change his ways. or he's not going to be reelected. Simple as that. He may not be reelected anyway because it would be too late. Congress, the Senate at this particular point, it is too late, period. I think most of them are going to be replaced. A whole significant number of them are going to be, as well as the House. A significant number of them have been, but even more are going to be replaced, and they're going to have to catch on to that. So we're at a turning point, a real big turning point in what's going on in our government at this particular point in time, and this going along for the ride thing is going to have to stop. And I really do believe we've got a certain group, and I don't know who it is. I can't put names on it or point at certain people, but I do believe there's a group of people in there that have been playing the game and have been using Obama as a pawn. And I think it's going to come to an end. It's run out of time. They've run out of time. People are catching on, and people don't like it. And so, and the economy is proving it to be disastrous. So something has got to change, and that's going to be it. And again, I keep saying it over and over again, this is going to be the most important election in your lifetime. You've got to get in there, stay and put somebody in there. And at this particular point, I'll go along with the people on the debates for the Republican side, the people that are still in the running, definitely running for the Republican side. At this particular time, it doesn't make any difference who they put in. Any one of them could do a better job than what's being done right now. Of course, I honestly believe that Obama could do a better job than what's being done right now, and would if he were reelected. So, you know, it's still an important vote. I think we'd be better off replacing the whole group of them. But if we don't, we can at least replace the Congress and the Congress is House and Senate. We can replace the House and Senate. Even if we were to leave Obama in there somehow or another, he'd have a little better backup crew, let's put it that way, to help him out than what he's got at the moment.
Well, I agree. And that's why I'm kind of puzzled and disappointed that what happened over the last 3 years, that we're not learning from our mistakes over the birth certificate. Why should there be so much focus on the certificate if we had, well, I guess getting back to the 28th Amendment, if we go apply for a job, we have to prove that we have the legal right, not the head of our country?
Well, again, I don't know that an example or an excuse. That was just a stupidity. Somebody was trying to raise hell and get their name in the paper and that sort of thing, and it meant virtually nothing. And that somebody in this particular case is Donald Trump more than anybody else. He wanted his name out there, and he got it. It is just stupid because, you know, nobody ever even imagined for a moment that Obama was not a citizen and was not everything, or, you know, he was born. Let's face it, who cares where he was born if he's an American citizen? And so, you know, that to me was just clutching at straws. That was getting nowhere. So I think we personally can leave that one out. That didn't accomplish anything for anyone, and even the person trying to bring it up. But I do think I think personally that we're going to change the whole government at this particular, you know, the people in it, the Senate, the House, and everybody, we're going to clean and start scratch. And that's why, you know, you need to pay attention. It'll be interesting. Happens tomorrow, I guess, is the, I believe it's in Michigan? I believe it's Michigan that's having their primary tomorrow. That'll be an interesting one to watch. Things have changed. I'm a little disturbed because my choice, Newt Gingrich, is not up there in the front, although he's definitely not out of the running. There's some interesting things to look into about this, by the way. Mitt Romney has won 4 states. Rick Santorum has won 4 states. Newt Gingrich has only won one run. won what state, and Paul has won none. But then there, you know, when you look at delegates, Romney is way ahead of Rick Santorum with 123. Santorum has 72. Newt Gingrich has 32. Then when you look at this, how many votes, how many people have actually voted for these people, Mitt Romney is number one in four states with 1,183,384 votes. Rick Santorum is tied for number one in four states, but with only 569,830 votes. Now, Newt Gingrich has only won one state, but he's had 800,885 people vote for him. So he's had almost twice as many votes as Rick Santorum, and yet he's only won one state. So, you know, we're still way early in the game as to what's going on. Looking at endorsements, people in the Republican Party who have endorsed people, Mitt Romney has 100 endorsements. Rick Santorum has 3. Newt Gingrich, who is way behind, has 12 endorsements. Even Ron Paul has 4. And so, you know, when you start looking at what's going on, Newt Gingrich is way ahead of Santorum in almost everything except specifically 4 states that Santorum has won. So I think, first of all, things are going to change in the coming states. Even in the amount of money that he has raised, Santorum is way behind. Campaign fundraising, $3 million. Rick Santorum has raised only $6 million, and Gingrich has raised $18 million. So it's amazing, if you look at some of these specifications, that it's amazing that Rick Santorum is where he is. It's just a sheer fluke that he got those 4 states, and he's tied with Romney, I believe. So, you know, we've got to sit back, and this is election on in Michigan. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And then March 6th, I believe it is, or 6th or 7th, something like that, right around, we have Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday is going to be the big one. We're going to sit back and see what happens to a Super Tuesday. We'll do that really carefully. It's where we've got like 10 or 12 states all having their primaries at once. So it'll be interesting. All this information, by the way, is on KRM.com. There you've got the 2012 election calendar, the results map, the dashboard. That dashboard is real interesting to look at, by the way. But the different calendars and things, go click on some of those and look at them. You'll find some real interesting information on all of that stuff that's over there on KRBNradio.com. Go take a look at that, and you'll be absolutely amazed at what's there and what you can learn from that.
In the meantime, okay, you can also click on here and give us a call, 646-721-9887. There's 41 minutes left in the program. If there's a topic that you'd like to bring up, we would love to have you give us a call. You can also listen to this program live on the Internet on your cell phone just by dialing 646-721-9887. And if you decide at that point that you'd like to join us in the program, just push 1 and it comes up on my board, and I go, welcome, area code so-and-so, you're on the air. So give it a try. It's fun. You get to talk to us. What more could you ask for?
Right. Plus the fact you can talk about what you want to talk about. There's got to be something you find more interesting than what we're talking about. But if not, just join us in what we're talking about and tell us how wrong we are, what kind of nuts we are, or something like that. We'd be more than happy to defend our positions. if they're defendable, I'm not sure.
We're very flexible.
Yeah.
646-721-9887. Give us a call. Give us a try. You might like it.
Yeah. Don't do it on this chat room thing, because we can't talk to you there. But if you give it to us on the phone, you know, even if you want to just come on and ask us a question or make a statement, you don't have to stay and talk if you don't want to. We'd be more than happy to answer your question or continue on with what you were suggesting that we talk about. Any way you want to do it. It doesn't have to be difficult at all. It can be very, very easy, and we're really looking forward to hearing from you. 646-727-9887. 646-727-721, rather.
You're giving the wrong phone number out.
9887. That's easy to remember.
646-721-9887. And also I want to put out an invitation, too, that if you have something going on and you would like to come on the show and be interviewed, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We'll talk to you off the air, and if we decide that what you have is worth bringing up or coming on, then, you know, we'll have you on as a guest.
Well, unless it's something really deviant, we're going to say yes, because we're willing to discuss almost anything. There are some stupid things. We've had one or two times that we have people come on the air and say just stupidy, you know, when I'm not interested in that. But if you've got anything with any kind of, and by that I mean these people were talking about sex and stuff like that. We're not too concerned about that.
Got to follow the FCC rules, even though that we are on the internet, you know.
Yeah. There we go. Let's say that.
Yeah.
That's good. So anyway, as I say, krbnradio.com. Go take a look at there. And again, text, what is our email address? Yeah.
talk@krbnradio.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And you can also listen to our podcast on iTunes. We have over 200 programs now, if you can believe that. We've been doing this for 2 years. We should be famous. We are famous, actually. If you if you Google KRBN, we come up above KRBN FM and KRBN. It's like that's because we work our websites.
we're there a lot. We discuss everything. And again, email us. Send us an email if you want to talk about anything or tell us anything. We'd love to hear from you. Anyway, back to the thing. Going on and on and on about that we should probably change our subject at this particular point. We've probably put as far as...
One thing I wanted to hear as I was doing some little bit of research while we were talking is I remember talking about that the Constitution is getting in his way and he's getting flooded. I'm trying to find the exact quote, and I've been unsuccessful so far, but he commented that I think the Prime Minister of China can get things done a lot easier than he can in the United States because of the Constitution. And there was a Supreme Court justice recently that was saying that the Constitution is old and outdated. I'm personally thankful for the Constitution, because if it wasn't for that, and in fact it's proving that it's working because Obama is frustrated that it gets in his way, because we didn't have it, imagine where we would be now.
That's exactly right, and I'm very glad that we have our Constitution, that it is in the way of a lot of things, because if it weren't, you're right. And again, I will have to say I don't believe it would be Obama's fault as much as it would be that group of people that put him in position where he is and that are trying to get and ramroad the things that they want through. However, it's going to be real interesting to realize that some of the stuff that they've ramrodded through, when we change administrations, which is going to happen this year in November, a lot of those things are going to go down. A lot of those things are going to be stricken from the record, are going to be removed from law, and they're not going to be there. And so they're going to find out that they've spent a lot of time. The only problem that I have and the only real disturbance that I am really ticked off about is the fact that these people have made such huge amounts of money in the 3 years that they've been in here playing with our lives.
Exactly. That's the whole point. That's why people push really hard and spend millions of dollars to get in a job that, what does the president make now? I think it was like $250,000 a year.
Well, it's still pretty good money, and even senators and representatives make pretty darn good money. But they're not there. That's not the money that they're making. That's what they're doing. There are a few people, and I understand there are some public servants, quote, close quote, who are there to help the country, to work for the country, to work for the people of the country. But I do believe most of them at this point are there to try to get rich, and they're doing it, and that's what we've got to stop. We've got to stop this getting rich. One of the ways I still feel that we need to handle this, and of course this is going to have to be done after we get the new one in place, is we're going to need to change the Constitution to change and put term limits on how long people can be in Senate and the House, because this crap has got to stop. Plus the fact, I honestly think at this particular point, because of the way we choose to place our Supreme Court, that they need to have some restrictions put on them. I know the Supreme Court is supposed to be just that, Supreme Court. They're supposed to have no restrictions. They have no limits. They're there for life. That can't be, because we've got certain individuals working very hard to make sure they stack the deck as to who is a Supreme Court justice. So we need to have some a little bit of consideration put under there. For example, again, term limits and things like that. So we need to consider that. It needs to be looked into very, very closely by a whole large group of, and I know how difficult it is to get a large group of people to agree on anything, but we're going to have to work on it and get a little bit closer than we do now. So
it should not be a career. You know, you go in, you do your one or two, and you go back home, back to reality. By the way, in answer to my question, the President Obama currently makes $400,000 per year, along with a $150,000 expense account, a $100,000 non-taxable travel account, and $19,000 for entertainment.
So $650,000.
Roughly, yeah.
Approximately. That's a considerable amount of money. It's more than is necessary. But again, and I would like it to be that someone tried to get a president, reelected a president, to make that kind of money. Because that's not all the money that they're making. They're making a whole lot more than that and doing a whole lot of other things. Plus the fact, look at even Newt Gingrich. He got out of the office and made huge amounts of money lecturing and talking to the schools and things like that. And the presidents and such do the same thing. They make huge amounts of money after the fact. Now, most of our presidents to this point have been how do I want to say this? I guess I'll just say intelligent enough to have made lots of money before the president, and are not that too horribly concerned about what they're going to do after their president. But we need the people with the. I keep saying keep calling Obama dumb, but he's not dumb. He is dumb in some ways, but in other ways. But he is dumb in the way that he's being allowed to be, allowing himself to be manipulated. And we've convinced him that he is being manipulated and that he should make it stop.
So what do you suggest?
Well, I guess what I suggest is that we remove him from office is the easiest way to do it. But even if we didn't remove him from office, the more I listen to things and look at things and watch things and talk to people, a lot of people are not that really horribly upset at Obama. For one thing, a lot of people sit and listen to what he has to say and believe what he's saying and his speeches and things like that. Of course, if you listen to the speeches and look and watch the speeches and such and compare them to what he's said in the past, you'll find what he's saying is just, I don't for a moment believe that he has written any of these. They're not his. They're all written for him, because that's proven by what you keep bringing up, is the fact that if he doesn't have that teleprompter in front of him, he can't talk. He hems and haws around because he doesn't have these ideas. These are not his ideas. These are things that he's been told to say and that he's been given to say. They're his responsibility to say. And so I would very much like to have him sit and say something that he rewrote. He did everything. Of course, how can we tell when that happens? So the easiest way is to get him out of office. But even if we don't, if we change the Senate and we change the House, excuse me, we're going to realize that he's got to realize that he can't get away with all this stuff anymore, and maybe he'll learn to have a mind of his own and a voice of his own.
Well, it's very possible that he's just a puppet. I mean, but who really does run the United States?
Well, again, there's a small group of Democrats that I think that put him in office that are running the United States, and of course, some of those you know, a lot of people consider that the United States is being run by big business. That's true, too. And they were a part of the people, you know, the big business. And that small group of Democrats in that position are all in cahoots with each other. And that's why we've got to get somebody in there. See, like even Clinton himself, I believe to a certain extent he was put in there by a group, the same group of people. But he caught on, and he fought back. Hillary, believe it or not, I think fought back even more than did Bill Clinton. But neither way, they really got their man when they got Obama. And they took big advantage of it and took big advantages of him. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens when he's out on his nose and has to forge for himself and make his own life, because I'm not too sure that he can do it.
Well, since you like to blame everybody, I can just see the ads if he loses. I blame the American people for not putting me back in office. Okay.
We'll take the blame. I'll accept the blame. I'm all for it.
He's got the Electoral College manipulated to put him back.
Well, see, now, you can't manipulate the Electoral College. That's a college. It's not somebody you can do that to. You got to read the Electoral College. You got to read that. It's on krbnradio.com and realize what it is. You know, it's something that's a concern, but I don't believe it's an answer to anything.
By the way, on a side note, as I'm, again, looking around to answer my question, in 2010, when they, from the Senate Financial Disclosure Form filed in 2010, more than half of the chamber's membership, 54 lawmakers, reported a minimum net worth of at least $1 million.
Now, who is this?
This would be half of the Senate Financial Disclosure. Somebody composed
the Senate was $1 million.
Yeah.
So, see, the Senate is 50 is 100 people. So we're talking about 50 millionaires. But this, you know, I believe there's an awful lot of people who were millionaires before they went into the Senate as well. But there's almost all of them are now before they leave the Senate, and the same with the House. And members, they're probably going to end up leaving there as millionaires as well.
Yeah, but look at the big picture. Like here are some examples. Let's see, what's this guy's name? Ohio Democrats investment, Manfield didn't say his name. Harvard does, I'm not seeing it, but this guy started out in 1992 at a net worth of $15,000 and now has a net worth of $250,000. Somebody else started out, Senator Sherrod Brown, raised his bottom line by 429%, starting out with a net worth of $70,000, now worth $370,000. And let's see. Oh, and John Cohen started out with a $96,000 to rise to $130,000. But the thing is that, you know, the money needs to be taken out of it. These guys should not be profiting from being in the as being our representatives. And especially, I was really shocked to find that when Obama appointed the super committee, how much money was being donated to the super committee.
Well, again, that was something that was done by this group of people, this group of Democrats, so that they could have individuals donate huge amounts of money. It's very difficult for Warren Buffett or somebody of that type to only be able to donate $1,000. So he has to go out and find a million people that he can give $1,000 to, so they can each donate $1,000 and he can get his way. So he has to be able to manipulate a million people in order to do that. He doesn't like that. So they had to find a way to allow him and other millionaires and billionaires to donate millions of dollars individually, because we had changed the campaign financing to the point that they couldn't do that, and they couldn't have that. They had to be able to put that money in there by manipulating certain ways. So that's how they came up with the super committee. Everybody knew from the very first day that these super committees were, or super funds were a problem, but they did it, and they've got it there for a year at least, and this is the year that counts. So this is the way that this group of people manipulates others, and they manipulated the president into signing it, into going for it. And I think he's going to benefit from it this time, so he isn't going to be too upset. But if it was, 4 years from now, if he doesn't and can't benefit from it next time, he's going to be real upset. And I believe they've really done a number on Barack Obama, my opinion. You're gone. Anyway, continuing on, we've got to do something about this whole thing. Are you there, Robin, or did you go away? I don't know what's going on. So in case that you are there, I still feel that we're going to find out in either a year or 5 years, I'm not sure which, if Obama doesn't win, it'll be a year. And we're going to find out a lot of things coming out that really have very little to do with his ideas and his opinions that were fed to him by someone. And in this particular instance, almost always in the form of a teleprompter to tell him what to say and when to say it and how to say it. Basically, he's a very good... Are you back again?
I am. I had to slap the mixer.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's the way I technically fix everything, is I slap it.
I remember, in the middle of the transmitter, it says for sync, it hit. And that was the way of repairing the transmitter. If it didn't do what you wanted to do, kick it. And it worked fine. Yeah, and with computers, the probably the most prevalent repair there is to unplug it and plug it back in.
Yeah. The processors can get locked up. Doesn't that make you really feel comfortable about having a car that drives itself?
I was just going to say that, as a matter of fact.
In fact,
how do I update this goddamn car?
Yeah, in fact, the old joke, I don't know if I could find it real quick here, but what if Microsoft made cars?
Yeah, really. Yeah, you push start to do everything.
Well, you'd have to get an upgrade every time you had a passenger or something.
Speaking of Windows and speaking of computers, Microsoft has been reigning supreme in the computer world with their Windows for many, many years now, about, 15 years? And people are getting a little concerned. Apple, which is Microsoft's perennial rival, I sort of laugh because Apple's operating system is actually just a takeoff of the Windows, except that technically speaking, the Windows were first, but they were still made by Microsoft and the company that Microsoft owned. So, it's ridiculous that we're thinking that Apple's going to take over. But Windows, it is a concern because Windows has been around for an awful long time, and it just may be there are some people that are working on new platforms and new ideas, and who long Windows is going to continue. Everybody's looking at the dollars and cents, and I think they're missing a bet because, during the last quarter, revenues dropped 6%, in the last quarter to $4.74 billion. Poor thing. But anyway, the point is Microsoft revenues are going up. Windows revenues are going down, but Microsoft revenues are going up. And I don't think it's because people are going to stop using Windows I think the simple fact is that that Windows is there. I mean, everybody's got it. And people are not changing and not going to Windows 8 or anything nearly as much as because they've already got XP. XP works okay. Everybody likes XP. XP. People are putting billions and billions of dollars into XP. And like I go to the doctor's office, and he maybe have 50 computers in there, and they have XP. It's not even it's built into a chip, a computer. You can't change it. You can't fix it. So they're not going to change that. They didn't have to change all these computers to do that. So they're not going to do that. So the point is they're not buying another operating system. They're going to stick with Windows.
But they also learned from the Vista era, too, because a lot of people switched over to Vista, and versions of Vista was not all that great, and it was pretty annoying. And so people are gun-shy, plus the fact that it costs a couple hundred dollars to upgrade your system, and you got to deal with, between XP and Vista, compatibility issues, because some of your old devices won't run on Vista.
Okay, you were talking about the first Vista didn't do so well. If you look back, every first offering of Windows that there is has done exactly the same thing. Windows itself is a complete loss. Windows 1, Windows 2 came about. It wasn't too bad. It was Windows before it actually worked. Then they went left to Windows 95. That didn't work. Went to 98. That worked better. And then they came to XP, and it finally did work pretty good. So going each one, we get this big step where there are big changes. But so we have to wait for a few years. So everybody's doing that. Dude, but that doesn't
also,
mean Windows is going to...
What you're also focusing, the other thing Vista didn't do, is as a general rule, is to be backwards compatible. And Vista kind of got away from that a little bit.
That's because you can only be backwards compatible so far and still keep the system. I mean, there comes a point where it has to change. And I think they did that quite properly. They did that in now a fourth step move. Vista... Windows 7, and now we've got Windows 8. And Windows 8 will probably work pretty good and have all kinds of new things, and people will start programming to it and for it. But it's going to be a while before we lose XP. There's an awful lot of people, like I say, industrial users who have got XP and are not even thinking of moving away from it. It's been a long time.
Because if it works, why change it, you know? But anyways, real quick here, we got 16 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. And I found that joke if you'd like to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is what if Microsoft made cars? Now, granted, keep in mind that a little side note here that, you know, we put up with Windows and everything crashing, but imagine if your car did that. So 13 items here, what if Microsoft made cars? Number one. For no reason whatsoever.
We lost you again. You bang on your computer.
Am I there?
Ah, you're back. Start over.
Hello. Okay. Let's see if I can get my monitors up here. Anybody want to buy a mixer? This one's going to be trash pretty soon. Because it's got bad connections somewhere. But... okay, so anyways, getting back to, I don't know where you lost me at.
Number one.
Just let me put my VU meters up here so I can see what's going out of here. Number one, for no reason whatsoever, your car would crash twice a day. Number two, every time they repainted the lines on the road, you'd have to buy a new car. Number three, occasionally your car would die on the freeway for no reason, and you would just have to accept this, restart, and drive on. Number four, occasionally executing a maneuver such as a left turn causes your car to shut down and refuse to restart, in which case you would have to reinstall the engine. Number five, only one person at a time could use the car unless you burn 95 R car in T. But then you would have to buy more seats. Number six, Macintosh would make cars that was powered by the sun, reliable, five times as fast, twice as easy to drive, but would only run on 5% of the roads. Number seven, the oil, water, temperature, and air warning lights would be replaced by general car default warning light. Number eight, new seats would force everybody to have the same size butt.
Yeah.
Number nine out of 13, the airbag system would say, "Are you sure?" before going off. Number 10, occasionally, for no reason whatsoever, your car would lock you out and refuse to let you in until you simultaneously lift the door handle, turn the key, and grabbed hold of the radio.
Yes.
Number 11, GM would require all car buyers to purchase a deluxe set of Rand McNally road maps, now a GM subsidy, a subsidiary, even though they neither need them or want them. Attempting to delete this option would immediately cause the car's performance to be diminished by 50% or more. Moreover, GM would become a target for investigation by this department. Number 12, every time GM introduced a new model, car buyers would have to learn how to drive all over again because none of the controls would operate in the same manner as the old car. Drum roll, please. Thank you. You press the start button to shut off the engine.
And you press the start button to start it again.
That's right. This is what if Microsoft made cars. So 646.
The only one that I disagree with is 6, and that's the one about Apple.
About Apple? Well, it does run more apps now, but the one thing about Apple.
Well,
go ahead.
It doesn't run better. It isn't more reliable. I've worked with Apple. I know because it crashes just as often. And today, Apple is not more reliable than a PC, than Microsoft. Sorry. And I've talked to people in places. For example, when you do printing, you go to places that convert the printing to on a printer, printing press. And the people bring in programs from every operating system there is: Sun, Apple, Microsoft, and so these people at these pre-press places have to have all of the different programs and work with all programs, probably as much as they do with Microsoft. And I've asked them, two different big companies, and they all agree that Apple is not any better. The best one of all is Sun, to believe it or not.
Sun?
Anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear.
Daughter.
Anyway, so much for that. 1-888-711 in the program. Any time you give us a call, or we'll just keep talking. Doesn't matter.
Before we go, I've got to tell you this because this is scary. In Maine, this came from Reuters News Service, the biggest lobster ever caught in Maine. And this is a 27-pound rock lobster named Rocky. They even named him. This lobster is a kid. This lobster is 40 inches. And the claws on this lobster are strong enough to snap a man's arm, just snap it right off. But they've turned him back in. They put him back in the water. We didn't eat him. So I just thought I'd let you know that the world's largest lobster is still out there somewhere in Maine. And if you catch him, that he gets out and gets away.
Yeah, and if you look at the picture of this lady holding him, it's like, do lobsters make good pets?
They're huge. This guy is just like really, really big. There's no record of any lobster being caught in the States any larger. The world's largest recorded lobster was 44 pounds. Huge thing. That was in 1907. According to the Guinness Book of the World. So.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting up.
Imagine you're walking pier or something like that, and you see this thing on shore, like, holy.
The size of a three-year-old kid wandering around, walking sideways.
It's a mutant. They aren't dating.
Do lobsters walk sideways, or are they just crabs? I don't know.
I don't know.
There's a whole song. Anyway, I had to put that up because I had to let you know that the world's the biggest lobster ever caught, 27-pound lobster, is still wandering around. And I was going to say, oh, where are you? Yeah, I guess he's in the ocean. So, rather have him wandering around my oven.
Yeah, but, you know, wouldn't you feel guilty eating the biggest lobster in the world?
No. Feel well filled, believe me.
You would be filled with...
filled with what?
You would be filled with satisfaction.
Yes, that's fair. I'm all for that. Did you know that somebody tried to kill Vladimir Putin? That's putting the L in the wrong place. Vladimir Putin. Somebody in Russia has tried to kill the guy.
Well, I do know that, especially the younger generation, is not exactly with the old ways, and they've been getting out there, you know, protesting, which in the past, you know, the army would have came in and taken care of it in about, but the world's changing.
Russia has not been a democratic country, I don't know if they really are now or not, but they're heading towards it. But this is fairly new to them. They're fairly recent to this business of doing things the way they're doing them now. So there is, you know, all for that. There's an awful lot of hierarchy in Russia, I'm sure, that would love to have the old ways back again.
Oh, there's hierarchy in the United States that would have that, like to have Russia's old ways back here.
Yeah, a little concerned. Scotland has decided to. They're talking about leaving Great Britain, leaving the British Empire, the breakup of Great Britain. That could be kind of a unique and devastating idea too. In the last few weeks, London has been panicky over the. A lot of people are looking for a shakeup of Great Britain, and I don't know if that would be good or bad. Things are happening in the world that are risky and very, very scariest for that matter. Greece is in trouble and not getting any better. They finally got their last hand out, shall we say. But now Italy and Portugal and France are, and even Spain, I guess, they have problems over there. Germany seems to be doing fine, but they're about the only one. And of course, everybody wants Germany to loan them. And Germany is saying, not anymore. You know, there is a point where we've got to stop. We can't support the entire. And that's what they're being asked.
Yeah,
people
China.
Are not asking for them.
That's China's job to do that.
Well, you know, even China is not doing that well at the moment. They're not ready to start handing out too much money. They've got lots of stuff to give, I'm sure, but their economy is slowing down too. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next, specifically in the next year. We've got to do our bit Tuesday, tomorrow in Michigan. You need to get out and many people need to vote in Michigan. We need to know what's going on. It'll be interesting to see because I guess between Santorum and Romney, it's very, very close at this particular point. I think Santorum is ahead of Romney right now in Michigan and as far as the polls are concerned. But then I want to put on the polls. You need to vote there. And then we get to Super Tuesday coming up in March 6th, 7th, 8th, I don't know. I should look that up, I suppose, and find out. But it's right in there. And we've got a whole lot of voting going on then. But this is going to be an important election. So it'll be interesting to see.
It's been an interesting race this year.
Well, it has been. And it's not going to stop because the people that are there now are pretty well going to stay there. Santorum would be the only one that I'd worry about whether he's going to stay in the race. And if he keeps winning like he has been, I guarantee you he's going to stay in the race. But I'm sure that Romney is going to stay in the race. I'm sure that Ron Paul is going to stay in the race. I'm sure that Newt Gingrich, unless something drastic happens, stay in the race. He's raised some pretty good cash, and he's showing other people how to run a race like this with significantly less, spent less money than any of the other people that were in there, and he's still gotten significantly further than almost all of them. There's only two people ahead of him, so he's done a very, very good job of it all. He's going to be there for the duration. So it's something to watch very closely. Watch what's going on ENRadio.com. We're going to have we'll have the results of the Michigan race as soon as they're there. The next day I'll have them up there because we've got a place for them. And what's going on, because we'll keep you at that place on your radio dial or on your computer dial or whatever you want to call it, KRBNRadio.com. It's an easy name to remember, KRBNRadio.com. And you'll find all kinds of information there, and we'll keep putting more information there. And if your information is not there, email me and ask for it, and we'll find it and put it there.
Exactly. And I was just going to say real quick here in the remaining couple minutes that I got to really give Santorum credit because, you know, he raced with everybody telling him, you have no chance of winning, you know, trying to discourage everybody. And look where he's gone since then.
Yeah, actually, it was just the opposite for Rick Perry. He came in the race with everybody saying, wow, you're going to go far, kid. And he fell flat on his face and left the whole thing. So, yes, Santorum has been a stick-to-itiveness, and he's got a go-get-em attitude. And so you might be surprised at what he can do. And I'm really looking forward to see what he's going to do in Romney's home state.
Yeah. Well, admittedly, I don't know that much about Santorum. I still got to do some more research on him. But just the fact alone that he's not giving up, to me, makes some few extra points.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, versus the few that get in there, you know, and they drop out after the first primary or first debate. You know, the stick to it.
Well, he's stuck to it with the debates, even when he was stuck over in the corner way away from everybody. He didn't go away, and that's good. And the more I listened to him, and especially at the debates, there are places you can go and listen to these debates if you want to. They're real interesting things to listen to. There's a lot of interesting information that comes out of those debates, so you might want to take a look at them and see for yourself. And listen for yourself. You'd be surprised at what's going on. And I think he's going to do real, real well as it goes along. I think he's going to do better and better. I don't know. It's impossible really to tell.
Well, we'll see what happens.
I think we're wrong.
We'll see what happens at the end of the debates. We are out of time. And until next Monday, one time, I hope you'll join us. If nothing else, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And if there's a topic in the news that you'd like us to talk about or want to talk about, again, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
Have a good week, everybody. Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.